If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to the book of John, chapter number 11. There's no way that a song could have lined up any better with the message than the special coming down the road is Jesus, right on time. Brother Allen, when they were talking about that desert place, I sat there and just imagined that you've been in a lot of desert places in the Bronx, judging by your testimony and some of the obstacles that you faced. And we're going to trust the Lord that one more time, Jesus will come down the road right on time. Amen. With that facility that's needed, amen, to continue to reach those people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in John chapter 11, we'll start reading in verse number 1. And I got so much to say. I wish I could say it all. I just don't know how it's going to go. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he said to his disciples, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. And you can mark this down. About every time Jesus is getting ready to do something wonderful, we would have been the same way if we had been traveling with him. We wouldn't have understood either. And his disciples said, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? In other words, Lord, you'd be walking into a hornet's nest. The Bible said, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Can I say this to you? Humbly, respectfully, and reverently, let me say this to you this morning. You can't walk in the light and walk in darkness. It's one or the other. And the Bible said here, these things saith he, after he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. But I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. I've done a lot of studying on this, and they say if a man's sick, and that if he's sleeping, then that's a good thing for him. He's recovering while he's... And they're thinking about sleep like you and I slept last night. And so they're thinking, he'll be all right. We don't need to go down there now in that dangerous place. He'll be all right. He'll be just fine. He'll recover. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Verse 13, howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. My father taught me something years ago. Maybe you've heard this. But he said, son, plain English is easily understood. I've always remembered that in the ministry. I don't want to be abrasive or seem abusive. Amen. But I don't want to be one of them preachers where people leave the building scratching their head and saying, what did he say? Amen. I believe if we preach the word of God like it is, to people like they are, we won't leave scratching our head. Amen. We'll leave knowing that God said something and he meant what he said in his word. So Jesus just said, he's dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. There's another text later that tells us that they even wanted to stone Lazarus. And so they thought, it's so dangerous there, we're probably going to be dying too, with Lazarus. And then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. That's still their character being revealed here. One of them is always moving, it seems like, and the other one is more apt to be sitting still, found in another place, sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his word. And the word of God said, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou would ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. You understand in the statement, I'm not changing the Bible, but a good way, I think, to paraphrase it, she's saying, Lord, you're just a little bit late. If you'd have been here, you could have helped my brother, but it's too late now. He's already died. And Jesus said, thy brother shall rise again. Then Martha's looking at it through the eye of faith, and she said, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. And some things here I didn't pick up onto this last time, that she called secretly. She went over and maybe whispered, because there were other people present. Watch. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and she came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come unto the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, see, they were there, but they didn't hear what was said. But when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, they followed her, saying, she's going to the grave. That's all they could think of. She's going to the grave to weep there. They didn't understand and know that she was going to Jesus. And then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. By the way, I believe that's what we're going to do when we see him. I believe we're going to fall at his feet. The book of the Revelation said, John fell at his feet as dead. There may be a time when we'll be face to face, but I believe before that ever comes, we'll be face to feet. We'll fall at his feet. The word of God said here, then when Mary come where Jesus was, saw she fell at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, can I ask you a question? Can you imagine how she was weeping? Can you imagine how the Jews that were gathered in the house were weeping? It was a time of great sorrow. Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. He saw her weeping. The word of God, I never picked up on this before. I'll share it in the message. Jews also weeping, which came with her. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And the word of God said, Jesus wept. That right there will take care of that little statement a lot of people like to make, real men don't cry. Jesus was as real a man as you'll ever meet in this world. I'll tell you that right now. He wept over Jerusalem. And by the way, the Bible said many other things did Jesus. I suppose the whole... Listen, God let us know that the Son of God wept. But I guarantee you this, He wept a whole lot more than what's recorded in this Bible. I believe many times, Brother Larry, when He was up on that mountain alone, apart, was crying out to His Father. Then said the Jews, Behold how He loved Him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind... Now, they're kind of lining up with Martha and Mary. If you'd have been here a little while ago, you could have helped. You know, you've opened the eyes of the blind and you could have healed him. Watch what it said here. Open the eyes of the blind. Have caused that even this man should not have died. Jesus, therefore, again, I'll touch on this after a while, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave, and it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. According to what I've been able to study, Lazarus was not embalmed. And so the word of God said, By this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, If thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lift up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Look at this verse. Then many of the Jews, watch this, which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. How many is beginning to see in this story that his way is a little bit better than their way? When he abode there 2 days still, he was taking his time on purpose. He wanted them to see something greater than the miracle of healing. He wanted them to see the miracle of the dead being raised. Watch this now, and I'm going to pray and we'll preach. The Bible said many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them... Can you believe that? Brother Randy, some of them, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, men of God will stand in pulpits like this and preach the Word of God, and many will believe, but some of them will go right on their way. Their heart just as hard as it was when they walked in, rejecting the darling Son of God and his solution for sin. Some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. I don't know about you, but I don't ever want to line up with the Pharisees. I wouldn't want to tell a Pharisee nothing except how to get saved. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. I pray now, Lord, that you'd clothe us in our calling. Help us today, Lord, to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. I pray, God, you'd help us to be a help. God, help us today. Please help us today. God, I pray that you'll help us. Oh, God, thank you that you're a very present help in a time of need. Thank you, God, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Thank you for the psalmist, Lord, that said, I lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. God, there's nothing too hard for thee. I pray, God, you would help. Thank you, Father, for this privilege. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Question this morning, did you come to get in or did you come to get out? Answer me. Did you come to get in or did you come to get out? If you come to get out, you might be disappointed. But if you come to get in, you might be fixing to be blessed. Amen. I believe God wants us to get in, so I'm going to dive in and go with it, okay? How many's praying this morning? Amen. Let's go with it. Amen. I want to preach today on this subject. Help is on the way in our time of sorrow. I've been preaching in a series of messages entitled, Help is on the way. Help is on the way when there was a problem with our sin, when there was a problem with our supply, when there's a problem, my friend, with the sea, when Israel was backed up against the sea and there was no way out. The Bible taught us that help was on the way. And as I begin to meditate, I believe Friday morning, and thinking about the service, God reminded me of this story in the Word of God about Lazarus. And I thought about how sorrowful that his sisters were, Martha and Mary and the Jews that were gathered. But listen, listen, listen. Help was on the way. Help was not late. Help was right on time. And help was exactly what they needed. What they needed, the Pharisees couldn't provide. Religion could not provide. Amen. It took the Savior of the world to provide what they needed. Let me give you three things in the message. Don't get too excited now. There's about three or four under each one of the three, if you know what I mean. Amen. But this is how the Lord spoke to my heart. Number one, help is on the way. The Master cares. The Master cares. The songwriter got it right when he said, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. Listen what the Word of God said. I want to show you about His care, several things here. Number one, His care is personal. The Word of God said, now a certain man in verse 1 was sick named Lazarus. I'm telling you that the Son of God cares for you and I on a personal basis. Amen. I was in a funeral Thursday evening. My dad's last brother, the last brother in the family, died. I haven't even told my sister yet about this, my brother-in-law. But listen, I texted my cousin last night, asked him how he was doing, just told him he was on my heart and I was praying for him. That was his daddy that went to heaven. He sent me a text back and he said, I'm doing good. And he sent me a text and asked me to pray for his best friend. I'm not going to name him. But listen, he said, my best friend, he was in that service. And my best friend's not a churchgoer. Y'all know what he was saying right there. Amen. And he said, my best friend has told me that God spoke to his heart in that service. You say, preacher, how's that got anything to do with this message? My God is a personal God. You can preach the Word of God, but thank God he'll put it right down in there and finger around that heart on a personal basis. Amen. That's the God that I serve. He cared for Lazarus. He cared for Martha. He cared for Mary. And I guarantee you that the old devil has already jumped up on their back, just like he does ours, and said, where's Jesus now? He's too late. He don't care, but he cares this morning. He cares. The Master cares. This care is personal. His care is powerful. Look in verse number 3. He said, preacher, what do you mean? The Bible said here, his sister said unto him, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest. You know what I love about that verse? It didn't say he that loves you. He whom thou lovest. That disciple, when John would talk about himself, he didn't say that disciple that loves Jesus. He'd say that disciple whom Jesus loved. Amen. I'm thankful this morning that His care is powerful. There's nothing in the Word more powerful than the love of God. In verse number 3, whom thou lovest is sick. In verse number
5 here, the Word of God said, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. I'm telling you, that love is powerful. A while ago, Sister Becky was praying, there's power in the blood. I'll tell you why we have the blood flowing from Calvary's cross. It's because God loved the likes of you and I and wanted us to be forgiven, wanted us to know the peace of God in our heart. The Master cares. His care is personal. His care is powerful. Look in verse number 33. The Bible said here, Jesus also weeping, he came with her. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Look at verse number 38. Jesus therefore again groaning in himself. You say, preacher, I don't understand. Well, I tell you, I've never put this together before. But over in the book of Romans, chapter number 8, I believe it was, the Word of God tells us that, listen, there's going to be times when you and I can't even pray, but the Spirit himself beareth witness with groanings that cannot be uttered. We can't even get it out. And here God incarnate, the Son of God, can't even get it out. But inside, there's a groaning going on in his heart. He cares. By the way, beloved, the Master still cares. You say, preacher, you don't know where I am. It really doesn't matter where you are. He still cares. You say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. It really doesn't matter what we've done. He still cares. No one ever cared for us like Jesus. The Master cares. His care is personal. His care is powerful. But then thirdly in the message, look at verse number 4 here. The Bible said this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. His care is prophetical. Listen, God is not looking right now. God's looking down in the future. And God knows what's best. And God knows how to use our present circumstances to bring glory to God in the future. They didn't understand that. And sometimes we don't either. But help is on the way, because the Master cares. Secondly in the message, help is on the way because the Master comes to where we are. Watch what the Word of God said in verse 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come. Isn't it good? Hallelujah. Isn't it good that Mary didn't have to say, Martha, who are you talking about? The word Master lines up with the word Lord. There was somebody in charge in Martha's life. Somebody in charge in Mary's life. Somebody in charge in Lazarus' life. And that was the Master. That was the Lord. Thank God the Master doesn't just care for us, but hallelujah, He comes to where we are. None of us would have ever been saved. You can try all you want to get to Him. But I'll tell you, in the grace of God, He always initiates it when He comes to you and when He comes to me. The songwriter said, when I could not come to where He was, He came to me. Another song said, God reached way below the bottom for me that night. That's the God I serve. The Master cares. The Master comes. I want us to notice three things about His coming. Number one, I want you to notice the delay in verse number 6. When He had heard therefore that He was sick, He abode 2 days still in the same place where He was. Let me tell you a good way to pray when something's going on and you don't know the answer. How about praying like this? Lord, just however you can get the most glory. Hallelujah. That's what's about to happen. Amen. Jesus is staying 2 days, probably going to travel a while. He's going to be dead 4 days when He gets there. But my friend, the delay was not denial. A lot of people think because God don't show up when He thinks, they think He should show up, that He's denied them the answer to their prayer. Listen, I want us to notice the delay in His coming. Notice the danger in His coming. In verse number 8, the Word of God said, His disciples say unto Him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone Thee, and goest Thou thither again? There was a danger involved. But can I tell you something right now? Listen to me carefully right now. Jesus knew this, and we need to learn this. I had people, oh, how many people. When I surrendered my life, and Brother Allen, I was in the prisons for 10 years as a missionary with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. And people said, "Preacher, aren't you worried about getting beat up? Or aren't you worried about getting killed?" And my response was always the same. If I'm in the will of God in prison, I'm safer than I would be standing on the street corner in Church Hill. Help me right there. I'm telling you, listen, Brother Allen, it's a dangerous place. But if it's the will of God, He'll take care of you in that dangerous place. He's coming. In spite of the delay, He's coming. In spite of the danger, He's coming. That's the God I serve. Amen. You say, "Preacher, why?" Because He loves Martha. He loves Mary. He loves Lazarus. But listen, more than all of that, He knows somebody else is going to get help. Help is not just on the way. Listen, for Martha and Mary and Lazarus, help is on the way for a multitude of the Jews. Are you listening? Watch this now. The Master comes. We've noticed the delay. We've noticed the danger. But I want you to notice the dialogue here that Jesus has with His disciples. Look at verse number 9. The Bible said, "And there are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him." Listen to this dialogue here. Here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, listen, let me paraphrase. I know what I'm doing. It'd be well for you and I to figure that out. Say amen. When we don't know what He's doing, He still knows what He's doing. They were trying to coach Him a little bit and say, "Lord, that's dangerous." And listen, He's saying, listen, if a man's walking in the day, he knows what he's doing. He's walking in the light as He is in the light. He's having fellowship. Amen. And He knows what He's doing. Let me say this to you. I believe with all of my heart in this dialogue, the disciples still don't exactly understand. As a matter of fact, they think it's so bad we're going to die with Jesus. We're going to die with Lazarus. Amen. But let me give them credit for this. They were still willing to go. Let me give them people credit in Oregon that stood up and said, "I'm a Christian." The first one may not have known what was coming, but the second one surely did. They just saw the first one die. Help me. Is Jesus that real to you that if somebody pointed a gun at your head and said, "State your religion," I might stop and say something like this. Let me tell you something about more than religion, better than religion. I've got a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I've been born again. That might buy you an extra half a second anyway while he's trying to figure that out. Amen. I'm just telling you, I thank God there's people in this Bible and people in this world, when they're pressed up against the door, my friend, up against the wall, help is on the way. And God give them grace to take a stand for what was right. The Master cares. The Master comes. The last thing in the message is the Master calleth. Watch this now. The Word of God said in verse 28, "When he had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, 'The Master is come.'" Let me ask you something. What would it mean to Mary when Martha said, "Honey, he called for you"? I believe it's kind of like that scripture, Brother Rose, over there where Jesus said, "Go tell my disciples and Peter." He just had to call his name out. He said, "I know that he's failed me. I know that he's denied me. I know he's been warming by the wrong fire. But I love that boy. And I've got business for that boy in the work of God. You be sure and tell Peter everything's all right." He called Mary. I tell you what, it ain't no wonder. I believe Mary looked like, how many remembers the Jack in the Box? The younger generation don't. You used to wind that, you'd close the lid on that thing, you'd wind that thing up. Amen. All of a sudden, boom, it'd jump up out of it. How many remembers what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about a restaurant. Some of you just got hungry. Not that Jack in the Box. Amen. I'm talking about that little toy. I believe that Mary, when Martha whispered that to her, she looked like she was spring loaded. Amen. The master has come and calleth for thee. She said, it ain't time to sit here no longer. It ain't time to weep no longer. Up and run to where he is. Thank God Almighty, he calls for us. Thank God he cares for us. Thank God he comes to us. Watch this now. Three things hurriedly. Number one, it's a call of God, the Master. Jesus is God incarnate. How many of y'all believe that? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Bible said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? I'm telling you, when you have a Lord. And by the way, let me just say this. I'm trying to say it kindly and humbly and reverently. But this generation we live in, the ones that do want a Savior, many times want a Savior without a Lord. They want heaven without a change in their life. They want heaven and sin too. How many knows what I'm talking about? And it don't work that way. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. You're either gathering into my sheepfold or you're scattering abroad. No middle ground. The black lady that testified when Grandpa was preaching years ago, it was customary. That's the word. God gave me the word. It was customary in those days at the end of the service for the preacher to say something like, does anybody have a word on their heart? Old black lady stood up in the back of the church and said, yes, I do, brother. Said, I want to tell you white folk something. And I want to tell you black folk the same thing. Either you is or you ain't. And she sat back down. You say whatever you want to. That's good preaching. Exhorting, testifying, whatever you want to call it. We're either in or out, on our way to heaven or on our way to hell. He's either our master or we're still serving self and Satan. One way or the other. It's a call of God. The master is come. Secondly, it's a call of grace. Look at verse 29. It's a call of grace. I want to give you four things right here quickly. Number one, she heard. The Word of God said, as soon as she heard, she heard. You know how come you heard God's call? Because of God's grace. None of us deserve to go to heaven. Not one of us deserve to go to heaven. But by the grace of God, we heard the call of God in our life. She heard. Number two, she didn't just hear, but she heeded. Thank God that night, now I wasn't as quick as Mary was. But that night when I was unsaved, sitting on the front pew in a Baptist church, I heard the call. It took a little while. It took a verse or two of invitation, Brother Rao. But thank God, finally I heeded the call. And I didn't run from the Lord. I ran to the Lord. Help is on the way. But not without the knowing the master cares. The master comes and the master calls. She heard. She heeded. Let me give you this. Look at verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, can you get a picture of that? I believe she's broken. I believe she's weeping. Lord, if you'd have been here, oh God, if you would have just been here, I know you could have helped my brother. The third thing I want to say right there is that she hurt. She was hurting. Amanda, that night, honey, your birthday, you were hurting. Remember how you hurt? Those people, Brother Allen in the video, the presentation, they talked about how they were empty and how they were without purpose. Sin will beat you up. Sin will leave you laying by the wayside for the buzzards to pick at. Amen. But thank God we have a Savior that will call to those that are hurting. One preacher said years ago, I never have forgotten this. He said a pastor or a preacher that will minister and preach the Word of God to the hurting will never lack a congregation. Because as long as mankind has been in the world, people have been hurting. The very first family. I wonder how Adam and Eve felt when Cain slew Abel. The very first family. They experienced hurt. Amen. And you and I and our families have experienced hurt. But thank God the Master calls in spite of the hurt. It's a call of God. It's a call of grace. And then in verse 35, she was helped. You say, preacher, what do you mean she was helped? The Word of God said Jesus wept. Let me ask you a question. It's a personal question. How many's glad for somebody when you're hurting that can come along and weep with you, mourn with you? Amen! And identify a little bit with where you are. I believe it's a bad mistake. I've actually rethought some things. And I believe I'm right. I used to say it like this. I believe it's a bad mistake if a man has lost his mom. If you've not lost your mom, I used to say I believe it's a bad mistake to walk up to him and say, I know how you feel. If you haven't lost your mom. But let me say this. I'm not sure it's right even if you have lost your mom now. Everybody has a different relationship with their mom. Every situation, every hurt is different. How many knows what I'm saying right there? It might be better, Brother Larry, to walk up to that individual and say, hey, I don't know exactly what you're going through. I don't know exactly how you hurt. I don't know exactly how you feel. But I want you to know this. I love you. I'm praying for you. And Jesus will be there for you. She hurt. She was hurting. But let me tell you something right now. This is point number four under point number three. However you want to do that. But she was helped. Help was on the way. There was help already just in having somebody to weep with her. But what do you reckon about business? You think it's going to pick up here in just a little while? When Jesus says, just, where'd you put him? Where'd you bury him? Let's go on over. I don't know what they were expecting. I tell you what. It's just like, well, look at verse number three. The sister sent unto him, Lord, behold, whom thou lovest is sick. They were asking for Jesus to come to heal him. You know what the Word of God said? He's able to do exceeding, abundantly, above all that we can ask or even think according to the power that worketh in us. By the way, let me just say this. You know what kind of power works in us? Resurrection power. The power of God. Amen. In other words, listen, for Jesus to come and heal him would have been wonderful. But for Jesus to come and raise him from the dead was going to be exceeding abundantly more wonderful. It was a call of God. It was a call of grace. And then number three, under number three, is its call to glory. I want you to see something. Look at verse number four. I'm about done. I didn't think there was any way I could preach this morning. Well, I haven't. I'm into the afternoon. But anyway, thank God for helping me. I didn't want this to be a two-parter. We need to get this while we're here. Amen. Watch this now. It's a call to glory. Look at verse four. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. It was a call to glory. That the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Look at verse 40. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Let me tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. The world is backwards. The world says, show it to me and I'll believe it. God said, believe me and I'll show it to you. That's different, isn't it? He didn't. David in the book of Psalms, he said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And God's word, believing, always comes before seeing. But we live in a world that wants to see it. Show it to me. I don't know why, but the Spirit of God just impressed this upon me. Anybody that's been here for the 2.5 years I've been here, you know that I say very little about giving. But let me tell you something right now. If you're sitting there waiting on God to show you something about giving, you can sit there and wait. You're going to have to obey God, and God will show you something. Amen. About how that He can meet your needs. About how that, my friend, listen, He can do more with 10% than you could ever do with 100% in your life. Amen. Thank God for our people. I say very little about that, but I know the Lord impressed me to say that. Some people say, well, if God will just show me, I'll believe Him. No. Read the book of Malachi. The Lord said, prove me. I'll open the windows of heaven. But if you think He's going to pour out the blessing before the obedient, you're backwards. It don't work that way. Amen? What's this now? It's a call to glory. A call to glory. There's glory. Let me give you a couple things quickly, and I'm done. There's glory in the resurrection. The Bible said here, they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. And I knew that Thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that Thou hast sent me. And when He had thus had spoken, He cried with a loud voice, aren't you glad? Amen. That He didn't just say, come forth. It would have been a whole lot more than Lazarus coming out. Say amen. But He said, Lazarus, come forth. That's what He said. Glory in the resurrection. I'm going to say a little bit more about that in just a moment. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about him with a napkin. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Let me say this to you, especially those of you that study and those of you that use commentaries. Every once in a while I read the references, and I just about got myself in trouble this week reading one of them there references. It said, this is what it said. It said this was not a resurrection, this was a resuscitation. And it said, and it kind of made sense. It said if this was a resurrection, then Lazarus would have never died on out there in the future. And all that kind of... But let me give you a problem with that. I went, thank God, I'm just a country boy, but I can read a dictionary. I went and I read the definition of the word resuscitation. Here's what it means. To restore consciousness or other signs of life to one who appears dead. He didn't appear dead. Jesus said He was dead. Jesus didn't say, Brother Randy, we're going over and it's going to look like He's dead. But hey, you say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? I'm going to tell you there's a cultish religion the Muslims are teaching. Are you listening to me? That Jesus didn't die on that cross. He just swooned. There wasn't no resuscitation that third morning. Thank God about it. There was a resurrection took place. And God is saying to you, when it's our time to go into that hole in the ground or that hole in the wall, whatever it is, He will come and help us on the way. Amen. Glory in the resurrection. Secondly, there's glory in redemption. Watch this. I'm going to give you something that you ain't going to believe this in a minute. In redemption, look at verse number 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on Him. Not only was there glory seen in the resurrection of Lazarus, but there was glory seen in the redemption of those unsaved Jews that were there. Aren't you glad God's still redeeming? Old chorus of a song, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. Here's a bunch of people. The Bible uses the word many. Many. Many of the Jews believed. I think, Brother John, it was Brother Billy one morning at breakfast. I could be wrong about this. I believe Brother Mitchell. He said, we're living in the days of gleaning. I just want to say this. Brother Allen, I know you'd like to see a full-blown harvest. But what a privilege it is just to glean in the corner of his field. Just to see some saved by the grace of God is a privilege. Many go years and years and years and never see anybody saved by the grace of God. How terrible that would be. There's glory in the resurrection. There's glory in redemption. But I want you to see this. There's glory in rejection. That doesn't make any sense, does it? I'm going to show it to you. Watch what the Bible said right here. But some of them went their way. While some were receiving Christ, others were rejecting Christ. You say, preacher, where do you see glory in that? Let me show you. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, please. We've been studying in Philippians for some time. Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 9 said, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. How many believes he's got that name whether we believe it or not? Watch now. That at the name of Jesus, what's that next word? Every. Brother and sister, I'm telling you that God is not just getting glory out of redemption. God is getting glory out of the rejection. Watch what I'm about to say. The Word of God says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He said, preacher, it's terrible when somebody rejects Christ. I say amen to that. But I say this, ultimately, God will get the glory. We can bow now, or we can bow later. But you mark this down. We will bow. Every knee will bow. You know what they're going to say? He is the Lord. He is the Master. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And the reason they're going to do it is to the glory of God the Father. Here's a bunch of people. Martha, Mary. I see it like a room full of people, the Jews that have gathered with a heavy heart, full of sorrow. Brother Ralph, they didn't know it. But honey, help was on the way. There have been people in this church, not just one or two, but several, told me about dark times in their life and they didn't know how in this world they were going to make it. They, just like Martha, just like Mary, just like the Jews, they didn't know it, but help was on the way in our sorrow. You see, let me say this morning, and I'm done. I'll close my Bible and give the invitation. How many remembers this verse? I can't remember the address, Brother Allen. I believe it's Psalms. The Lord draweth nigh to him that is of a broken and a contrite spirit. Is that Psalms? Somebody nod your head. I believe it is. I believe it's the book of Psalms. The Lord draweth nigh to him that is of a broken and a contrite spirit. So what happens is when a person is broken. It could be a saint of God that's broken. It could be a sinner that's broken. What God does when He sees that brokenness. Brother Jeff, our Savior is just so cut out. He's drawn to that. Help is on the way when He sees that. Is that what it is, Brother Steve? It is Psalm 34. He draws nigh to them that are broken in a contrite spirit. I'll say this, the night that I got saved, I was broken. I'm not trying to be ugly, but I just don't believe if you can walk down the aisle grinning from ear to ear and popping your chewing gum, I just don't believe there's any of that Holy Ghost business going on down in that heart. I believe when you see what you've done to Him, I believe when you see Brother Dennis, that we're the ones that spit on Him. We're the ones that drove nails in His hands. We're the ones that caused Him to hang there. We're the ones going to fall off into the region of the damned without salvation. And when we see that, I tell you, I believe the smile goes away and there's a brokenness. And our Lord runs towards that brokenness. But let me say this. I can identify real good with Peter. I failed him many times since I come to know him. Many times, Brother Gary, I've had to fall on my face to say, oh God, how could I get in such a mess? How could I get so far away from you? Oh, but glory to God, in that sorrow, help is on the way. I've said for years, people have said to me, preacher, don't you worry about them people. It's always going to that altar. Nah, I don't worry about them. They'll be all right. I do worry about folk that never, ever, ever see a need to bow their knee. I'm talking about after they get saved. Brother Joe, have you ever failed Him? You're one of the best Christians I know, brother. But have you ever failed Him? Has it ever broke your heart how you failed Him? Me too. How many's on that train right there? You're good company. These teenagers aren't going to make it through their teenage years without failing Jesus. Does that help you youngins to know that? You're not going to be perfect. But I tell you what, when you mess up, if you'll come to Him broken, He'll be running faster to you than you could ever run to Him. He'll help you. Help is on the way. People get married. They don't always get it right. Help me right there. But oh, I thank God when those hearts can come broken, help is on the way. In that sorrow, God will send help. Let's bow for prayer this morning. Father, what a story in the Bible. Thank You for leaving it there for us, Lord. Lord, You didn't just love Lazarus and You didn't just love Martha and You didn't just love Mary. You left this here in the Bible because You love us. Lord God, I pray, speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, there are people here that don't know Jesus. I'm not judging them, Lord. They've told me that with their own mouth. God, I pray that there'd be a brokenness, a sorrow of heart. Not the sorrow of the world that worketh death, but the sorrow, godly sorrow that worketh repentance unto salvation. I pray, God, You'd work in hearts. Lord, there may be Christians here today, God, that need You to do a work in their heart and in their life. Perhaps someone would come on behalf of another and beg You, God, to work in their heart and work in their life. Lord, I'm so glad in our sorrow, help is on the way. God, there are times when we think You're late. There are times when we think You've forgotten about us. Thank You for a Bible, Lord, to straighten us out. Thank You, God, for faith. Thank You for grace. Thank You for mercy. I pray, God, You'd help us.